Imagine a tourist, right? They're driving up Highway 1.
Oh, yeah. Classic California road trip.
Exactly. So they pull into Carmel, they take out their phone, and they search for a place to grab a coffee or, I don't know, buy a gift.
Right.
And in 2026, the local shop that actually wins their business, well, it is not the one with the most expensive advertising campaign.
Not anymore, no.
No, it's the one that replied to a completely random Instagram comment like 48 hours ago. So today we are opening up a hyper-specific, highly localized playbook for retail survival and growth in the modern digital age.
It's a fascinating set of sources we have today.
It really is. The sources sitting in front of us come directly from a 2026 social media seminar, and this was designed exclusively for the retailers at the Crossroads Carmel.
Which, serves as an incredibly useful microcosm for you as a listener. Because the Crossroads is this premier shopping and dining hub, but the seminar itself was orchestrated by the Social Studio.
Right, the major Hearthstone agency.
Exactly. So we are looking at presentations from top-tier digital strategists, Autumn Casey, Fanny Martinez, and Joseph Ramirez. And we also have this very detailed internal training module focused entirely on a concept they call reply culture.
Okay, let's unpack this. Our mission for this deep dive is to extract the ultimate 2026 playbook for small business social media from these Hearst materials.
Yeah, to really figure out what's working.
Right, we're going to decode how local storefronts are actually winning online right now. And, well, spoiler alert, it is actively moving away from having machines and robots do all the heavy lifting.
Which is so counterintuitive to what everyone thought would happen.
Totally. We're getting a rare peek behind the curtain of a high-end marketing agency strategy, and the mechanics reveal this massive shift in how platforms evaluate content.
The overarching theme here is, well, it's a violent pivot away from the broadcast megaphone era. To understand how businesses build community in 2026, the agency basically starts by outlining what retailers must actively stop doing.
The What's So You list.
Right. The era of the hyper-curated, perfect aesthetic, and the fully automated AI feed is completely dead. The defining mantra of their seminar is, "Stop interrupting, start inspiring."
Stop interrupting, start inspiring. I love that. And they outline five pillars of a great online presence, right? Visually appealing, original, positive, relevant, and actionable.
Yeah, but like you mentioned, that What's OUT list is where the real actionable insight lives.
Oh, for sure. They are explicitly instructing businesses to abandon AI-written captions that just lack a distinct human voice.
Yeah, nobody wants to read robots speak anymore.
Exactly. And over-edited, heavily filtered photography. That is considered toxic to brand trust now.
Absolutely toxic.
But my personal favorite of what's out is the concept of posting and ghosting,
Oh, yeah?
meaning, throwing up a piece of content and then just ignoring the digital room entirely.
The contrast with what is actually working for the Crossroads right now is striking. The high-performing content is surprisingly raw.
Like, how raw are we talking?
We are talking about natural light phone photos, behind-the-scenes moments, and captions written in the actual owner's voice. Complete with their unique cadence and honestly, perhaps even a minor typo.
A typo. Wait, really?
Yeah, really. What's fascinating here is the paradox of artificial intelligence. It plays a massive role in this.
Right, because I was thinking about this shift. Using AI to automatically write your final captions and handle your customer replies, it's basically like putting a plastic mannequin at the front desk of your physical store.
That's a perfect way to put it.
I mean, it might be dressed in the latest fashion, its hair is flawless, and it never takes a lunch break, but the second a real customer walks in and tries to ask a question, the illusion shatters.
Completely shatter.
It totally alienates them because there is zero emotional resonance.
Exactly. And as AI has become universally accessible over the last few years, meaning literally anyone can generate technically perfect, grammatically flawless copy in 2 seconds, perfection itself has lost all its premium value.
Because it's cheap now.
Right. When perfection is cheap, human imperfection becomes the ultimate luxury good.
Wow.
A slightly shaky phone video, the ambient noise of a real coffee shop, the distinctive, maybe slightly awkward enthusiasm of a store owner, those hyper-human imperfections are the new signals for trust.
It's important to clarify, though, for you listening, they aren't telling these Carmel boutiques to ban AI entirely.
No, not at all.
The playbook treats tools like Claude or ChatGPT strictly as brainstorming partners, not full-time employees. The workflow is to have the AI generate like 10 caption concepts, but the human owner selects one and heavily rewrites it to inject their actual personality.
And the execution of those captions also ties into a fundamental algorithmic shift the agency highlights.
Right, the SEO thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Since about 2025, the barrier between social media discovery and traditional search engine logic has completely dissolved. Instagram captions are actively appearing in Google search results.
Which is wild, but if I try to reverse engineer how Google's crawlers operate now, it makes total sense. Well, the algorithms realize that when a user searches for something like Fresh Flowers Carmel, a static, beautifully designed bakery website from 2022 isn't actually as relevant to the searcher's real-time intent as an Instagram caption posted by a local florist 3 hours ago.
Exactly.
The crawlers are scraping social feeds for immediate local relevance.
Which fundamentally changes how a business has to write. I mean,
yeah.
A photo of a tulip with a single flower emoji as the caption is practically invisible to the algorithm.
Right, because the Google bot doesn't know what to do with a flower emoji.
Exactly. The caption serves as literal SEO copy. You have to write, "Fresh spring bouquets arriving today at our Carmel shop."
So you have to be literal.
Very literal.
Yeah.
And to manage that text, the social studio structures everything around four specific content pillars.
Show, tell, teach, and invite.
Right.
So show is clearly the product itself.
Yep.
Tell is the human narrative, you know, the history of the shop or the people working there.
Sure.
Teach establishes authority, like a local wine merchant explaining a specific pairing technique. But invite is the crucial one.
It really is.
That covers trunk shows, tasting events, and sales. And the rule they enforce is that invite is the only pillar where you are explicitly allowed to ask the customer to take an action or spend money.
Because the psychology there is essentially a digital bank account.
Oh, I like that analogy.
Yeah, the show, tell, and teach posts are deposits of value and entertainment into the community's trust account. The invite post is a withdrawal.
Oh, okay.
If a business runs an account where every single post is an invitation to buy something, they're constantly overdrawing their account.
And the audience just recognizes it as a static billboard and completely tunes out.
Exactly.
So if authenticity means acting like a real human offering genuine value, those humans actually have to engage in two-way dialogue, which leads us to the absolute core of the Crossroads playbook.
Reply culture.
Yes. The training module breaks down this concept called reply culture, and it basically functions as a highly mechanical algorithmic lever.
In the presentation, the "What's Winning at the Crossroads" slide lists four main drivers for success.
Okay.
Three are relatively expected, right? Featuring real storefronts, utilizing local Carmel geotags to intercept those Highway 1 tourists, and participating in local community events.
Like Poodle Day, I think, was their specific example.
Yeah, Poodle Day. But the fourth driver, reply culture, is where the technical landscape of 2026 diverges from the past.
The source material introduces a very strict 24-hour rule. Replying to direct messages and public comments within 24 hours isn't framed as just polite customer service. It is an algorithmic mandate.
It's non-negotiable.
I assume that responsiveness score isn't just some vanity metric. If the platform knows you're actively chatting with people, it probably tags your account as a vibrant community hub rather than a dormant broadcast channel, right?
That is the exact mechanism, yes.
Yeah.
When a store owner replies to a comment, multiple technical triggers fire.
Okay, like what?
Well, the original commenter receives a push notification, prompting them to open the app and return to the profile.
Which logs a fresh session.
Exactly, a fresh visit signal. Simultaneously, the platform's classifiers categorize that two-way exchange as high-density engagement. As a direct mathematical result of that hidden responsiveness score increasing, the algorithm will artificially boost the reach of the store's next piece of content.
Wait, really? So the reply sent on a Tuesday literally dictates the visibility of a completely different photo posted on Thursday?
Literally dictates it. You are mechanically training the algorithm to favor your entire digital footprint.
But I have to push back on the operational reality of this. I mean, the Hearst module claims this requires a time investment of only 15 to 25 minutes a week.
Right.
If I'm running a busy retail shop and foot traffic is heavy, 15 minutes a week is going to inevitably balloon into an hour a day.
Yeah.
The module demands a read it and reply now discipline.
Yes.
Meaning never open a message unless you can resolve it right then. Does Hearst actually expect local business owners to suppress the human urge to glance at their phone notifications?
Well, the agency anticipates that exact friction. which is why the protocol is so rigid. The strategy actively discourages living in the inbox.
Okay.
They prescribe a twice daily check, 10 minutes in the morning before doors open, and 10 minutes during the classic retail lull around 3 or 4 p.m.
That makes sense.
Because if a business owner glances at a notification, opens the DM, realizes they don't have the answer regarding a specific inventory item, and leaves it on read, they trigger a catastrophic algorithmic penalty.
Oh, wow.
The 24-hour clock expires, the message gets buried in the inbox, and the responsiveness score tanks. So the discipline of leaving it unread until the scheduled 10-minute window is actually a protective measure for the account's algorithmic health.
That is wild. And they also mandate using save replies over auto replies to speed up those 10-minute sessions for common questions, you know, about shipping or operating hours.
Yep.
Now, we all know the basic functional difference between a saved template you manually send and a bot that fires automatically. But why is the auto reply treated as so deeply toxic in this specific 2026 playbook?
Because consumers in 2026 have developed an instant, almost biological allergy to automated bot logic.
A bot allergy. I feel that.
Right. The moment a user detects they're interacting with a logic tree rather than the actual shop owner,
yeah,
especially if they're reaching out with a nuanced question or a complaint, their baseline trust metric just plummets to zero.
Yeah, it's infuriating.
But a save reply requires the human to tap the template, insert the customer's name, add a specific greeting, and manually hit send. The customer feels seen.
Which brings up a related high ROI tactic from the module story mentions.
Oh, this is a big one.
Yeah. When a customer physically visits the crossroads and tags a shop in their Instagram story, the playbook dictates the business must reshare that tag to their own story within 1 hour.
Within 1 hour, yeah.
Paired with a private DM thanking them for stopping by. It takes mere seconds, but it signals to the user they were valued and maps a connection for the algorithm showing your account is tightly interwoven with local foot traffic.
The challenge, naturally, is that inviting this much two-way conversation essentially leaves the front door of your business wide open to the entire internet.
Which is terrifying.
Right. Which requires a sophisticated approach to moderation when the inevitable negativity arrives. The Hearst module categorizes negative interactions into three distinct buckets.
Genuine criticism, trolling, and spam.
Exactly.
Spam is purely mechanical, right? Just report and block.
Yep, easy.
But the trolls require psychological warfare. And here's where it gets really interesting. The playbook reveals a platform tactic called hide, don't delete.
The sociology behind the hide feature is just brilliant.
It really is.
Because trolls operate purely for the audience reaction. They want the oxygen of attention.
Right. If a business deletes a troll's comment, the troll immediately realizes they've been censored.
And they escalate.
Exactly. They escalate. They create a secondary account. They accuse the brand of silencing the truth. And they just create a massive digital mess.
It's a nightmare.
But the hide button on Instagram makes the comment invisible to everyone on the internet except the troll.
Which is so funny.
It's like putting a screaming person inside a soundproof glass box in the middle of a crowded room.
Yes.
The troll looks at their phone, sees their vitriol sitting right there at the top of the comment section, and feels deeply satisfied. They have no idea that the rest of the community is just happily sipping coffee, completely unaware of their existence. The toxicity is neutralized without triggering the blowback of censorship.
It is an incredibly elegant solution for bad faith actors. However, it operates in total contrast to how the agency handles the first category, genuine criticism.
Right. You can't just hide genuine complaints.
No. If a customer leaves a public complaint about a delayed shipment or a cold meal, hiding or deleting it is the worst possible move.
It looks so sketchy.
It does. The playbook frames genuine complaints as high-value marketing opportunities, utilizing a framework called negative review recovery.
And the template is super precise. The business must acknowledge the issue publicly without a hint of defensiveness, apologize for the specific granular detail that failed.
Which means avoiding the classic corporate, "we are sorry you feel that way" phrasing.
Ugh, yes, I hate that phrase. And then they have to provide a direct private path to resolution, like asking them to DM their receipt number.
And this is where the bot allergy we discussed earlier is most critical. Deploying a canned AI response to a legitimate customer grievance is just an unforced error.
Oh, absolutely.
The crucial shift in mindset here is understanding the true audience of a public apology. When a brand replies to an angry reviewer, the response isn't actually for the angry reviewer.
Exactly. The response is a public performance of accountability for the dozens or potentially hundreds of silent prospective customers who will scroll past that review 3 months from now.
The lurkers.
The lurkers. Those future readers will judge the entire integrity of the business based solely on how the owner handled that single moment of friction.
Precisely. The goal isn't to win the argument. The goal is to demonstrate to the wider neighborhood that the storefront is operated by reasonable, empathetic humans.
Hmm. Okay, so you've mastered the public square, you've dodged the trolls, recovered the negative reviews, and built a baseline of trust. But eventually, organic reach has a mathematical ceiling, especially in a localized zip code like Carmel.
True.
How do these retailers scale that intimacy without breaking the authenticity they just built?
Well, the next evolution in the 2026 playbook involves moving the most highly engaged followers out of the chaotic public square and into a segmented private room.
Okay.
The training module references data from Sprout Social, indicating that the deepest, most financially valuable brand engagement no longer occurs on the public feed. It is migrated to semi-private spaces.
Like DMs.
DMs, yes. But for platforms like Instagram, this mainly manifests as the broadcast channel.
Right. A broadcast channel is essentially a one-way opt-in messaging feed. Anyone who follows the boutique can choose to join. And the immediate technical advantage is that it completely circumvents the algorithmic feed. If a shop has 800 people in their broadcast channel and sends a message, it doesn't get throttled by classifiers. It literally buzzes in the pockets of 800 people simultaneously, just like a text message from a friend.
Because it triggers a lock screen push notification, it is incredibly potent. But that power comes with a rigid rule from the social studio. One message per week, maximum.
One a week. Wow. But I get it. The psychology of the push notification is fragile. If a brand treats a private broadcast channel like a public Twitter feed and blasts out 4 updates a day, the audience will immediately revoke the privilege.
Oh, in a heartbeat.
They will mute the channel or just leave entirely.
But when respected, it generates a VIP atmosphere that a public post simply cannot replicate.
Yeah.
The module suggests utilizing the weekly message for exclusive first looks at new inventory, limited restock alerts, or leveraging that human element with a raw 30-second audio voice note from the owner just walking through the shop.
Oh, I love the voice note idea. And those VIPs residing in the broadcast channel serve as the primary engine for the next major mechanism in the playbook UGC 2.0, or user-generated content.
Yes.
Historically, brands viewed UGC as free photography they could just screenshot and repost to make their own grid look cool. But the mechanics have shifted, haven't they?
They really have. The algorithmic weight of peer-to-peer sharing in 2026 vastly outperforms brand broadcasting. When a VIP customer posts a genuine photo of their lunch at the crossroads, that content acts as a localized node, reaching their specific network of followers.
A network the brand's main account could never penetrate organically.
Exactly. But the legal and community guidelines surrounding UGC have matured. The Hearst agency mandates a very specific workflow now.
Right.
A business can monitor their mentions and casually reshare a customer's post to their temporary 24-hour stories. But if the brand wants to place that user's photo permanently on their main grid, they must initiate a DM and explicitly ask for permission.
Like, we love this shot. Would you be comfortable with us featuring it on our main page?
Exactly. It establishes respect. And a business must never assume that permission extends to utilizing the customer's photo in a paid advertising campaign.
Which entirely validates the real people, real storefronts concept. A feed populated by actual customers taking unfiltered photos of your physical space is the ultimate cryptographic proof that your business is a vibrant, trusted reality, not a glossy digital facade.
It really is the ultimate proof.
If we map out the life cycle, it's a brilliant closed loop. The public feed the show and tell pillars hooks a stranger. The 24-hour reply culture builds a relationship.
Yep.
That relationship incentivizes them to join the broadcast channel. The broadcast channel turns them into a VIP. The VIP visits the physical store and posts UGC. And that UGC acts as a beacon to hook the next stranger. It's a self-sustaining ecosystem.
It is a finely tuned organic engine. But to your earlier point about scaling, this Hearst-owned agency does eventually introduce paid social.
Ah, okay.
However, it is explicitly framed as the final footnote of the strategy, not the starting line.
Right. Paid social isn't the engine of the car. It's just the turbocharger you bolt on once the organic engine is already humming perfectly.
Exactly.
The playbook explicitly warns that running paid ads pointing to a profile with zero comments and no human interaction is a complete waste of capital. It's the equivalent of buying a massive billboard on the highway for a restaurant, but when the tourists pull up, the doors are locked and the parking lot is empty.
Such a waste. So once the organic foundation is solid, the agency deploys a micro-budget strategy.
Microbudget.
Yeah, the era of throwing massive agency budgets at broad demographic guesses is over. The mandate is to wait patiently for an organic post to naturally overperform.
Because the community essentially acts as a focus group.
Exactly.
If a typical behind-the-scenes video averages 500 views, but a specific post explaining a new product suddenly hits 2,000 views organically, the community has mathematically validated the content.
That validation is the trigger. The business then applies a hyper-targeted budget of just $20 to $50 behind that specific post for a condensed 3 to 5 day window, scaling that proven winner to 10,000 localized views.
You're telling me a local shop doesn't need a massive ad agency budget. They just need 50 bucks and a map of the local highway.
Pretty much. They also utilize time-bound promotional spends, allocating perhaps $100 over a single week to support a specific physical event, like a Taste Morgan wine release.
Okay.
And they pair that microbudget with extreme geofencing. The retailers are instructed to draw a tight 10-mile targeting radius exclusively around Highway 1 and Rio Road.
That is so smart.
Right. They aren't paying to reach digital window shoppers in New York. They're intercepting the tourist sitting in a hotel room in Big Sur, looking at their phone to figure out their afternoon itinerary.
And I imagine they advocate layering different ad formats too, mixing video reels with static carousels to create varied visual touch points.
They do, yes. But the core philosophy remains. Paid media in 2026 simply takes the localized trust built through reply culture and places it directly in front of nearby foot traffic.
It is a remarkably grounded, almost blue-collar approach to digital marketing.
It really is.
So, to wrap up this deep dive, the 2026 playbook for the Crossroads Carmel proves that the absolute cutting edge of digital strategy is, ironically, looking backward.
Right.
Surviving the algorithm requires picking up the digital phone, speaking to your neighbors, allowing your flawed human personality to shine through raw photography, and treating online followers with the exact same intimacy as a local stepping through the front door of your shop.
It fundamentally represents the triumph of the localized human element over the automated mass market machine.
Which leaves you with a final, slightly provocative thought to mull over.
Fellas, here.
If the pinnacle of digital survival in 2026 relies entirely on private broadcast channels, intimate direct messages, and hyperlocal 10-mile geofencing, are we currently witnessing the death of the mass in mass media? As the internet expands into an infinitely crowded, AI-generated void, perhaps the only mathematical way to survive is to aggressively make your specific corner of it smaller, quieter, and deeply intimate. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. You are now armed with the exact insights and the playbook to navigate this evolving and surprisingly human digital landscape. We'll catch you next time.